Chapter 75. Causeway from the Randstad Gate at the northwest corner of the town, and the Linden Bridge over the Elster beyond. First citizen, last night I saw, like wolf packs, hosts appear upon the Dresden Road. And then, anon, the already stout arrays of Schwarzenberg grew stout and more. I witnessed clearly too, just before dark, the bands of Bernadotte come, hemming in the north more thoroughly. The horizon glowered with a thousand fires as the unyielding circle shut around.
As it grows light they scan, and define the armies.
Third citizen, those lying there, twixt conduits and dollets, are the right wing of horse Murat commands. Next, Poniatowski, Victor, and the rest. Out here, Napoleon's center at Brooks Theta, where he has bivouacked. Those round this way are his left wing with Ney, that face the north between Ponsdorf and Golis. Thus, you see they are skillfully sconced within the villages, with cannon ranged in front. And every copse, dingle, and grove is packed with riflemen.
The heavy sky begins to clear with the full arrival of the morning. The sun bursts out, and the previously dark and gloomy masses glitter in the rays. It is now 7 o'clock, and with the shining of the sun, the battle is resumed. The army of Bohemia to the south and east, in three great columns, marches concentrically upon Napoleon's new, and much contracted line, the first column of 35,000 under Bennigsen, the second, the central, 45,000 under Barclay de Tolly, the third, 25,000 under the Prince of Hesse-Homburg. An interval of suspense.
First citizen, ah, see. The French bend, falter, and fall back.
Another interval. Then a huge rumble of artillery resounds from the north.
Semi-chorus of rumors,
aerial music,
now Blücher has arrived, and now falls to. Marmont withdraws before him. Bernadotte touching Bennigsen, joins attack with him, and Ney must needs recede. This serves as sign to Schwarzenberg, to bear upon Brooks Theta Napoleon's keystone and dependence here. But for long whiles he fails to win his will, the chief being nigh outmatching might with skill. Semi-chorus 2, Ney meanwhile, stung still sharplier, still withdraws nearer the town, and met by new mischance, finds him forsaken by his Saxon wing fair files of thrice 12,000 footmanry. But rallying those still true with signs and calls, he warily closes up his remnant to the walls. Semi-chorus I, around Brooks Theta still the conflict rolls under Napoleon's eye surpassingly. Like such before the scythe the sections fall and bayonets slant and reek. Each cannon blaze makes the air thick with human limbs, while keen contests rage hand to hand. Throats shout, vance, and forms wham, wallow, and slack suddenly. Hot ordnance split and shiver and rebound, and firelocks fouled and flintless overstrew the ground. Semi-chorus 2, at length the allies, daring tumultuously, find them inside Brooks Theta. There is fixed Napoleon's cardinal and center hold. But need to loose it grows his gloomy fear as night begins to brown, and treacherous mists appear. Chorus, then, on the three fronts of this reaching field, a furious, far, and final cannonade burns from 2,000 mouths and shakes the plain, and hastens the sure end. Towards the west Bertrand keeps open the retreating way, along which wambling wagons since the noon have crept in closening file. Dusk draws around, the marching remnants drowse amid their talk, and worn and harrowed horses slumber as the walk. In the darkness of the distance spread cries from the maimed animals and the wounded men. Multitudes of the latter contrive to crawl into the city, until the streets are full of them. Their voices are heard calling. Second citizen, they cry for water. Let us go down, and do what mercy may.
Exeunt citizens from the tower.
Spirit of the pities, a fire is lit near to the Thonberg wind wheel. Can it be Napoleon tarries yet? Let us go see.
The distant firelight becomes clearer and closer.
Scene IV, the same. At the Thonberg windmill,
by the newly lighted fire Napoleon is seen walking up and down, much agitated and worn. With him are Murat, Berthier, Augereau, Victor, and other marshals of corps that have been engaged in this part of the field all perspiring, muddy, and fatigued.
Napoleon, baseness so gross I had not guessed of them. The 30,000 false Bavarians I looked on losing not unplacidly, but these troth-swearing sober Saxonry I reckon staunch by virtue of their king. 35,000 and gone. It magnifies a failure into a catastrophe. Murat, we must retreat precipitately, and not as hope had dreamed. Begin it then this very hour. Berthier, write out the orders. Let me sit down.
A chair is brought out from the mill. Napoleon sinks into it, and Berthier, stooping over the fire, begins writing to the Emperor's dictation, the marshals looking with gloomy faces at the flaming logs. Napoleon has hardly dictated a line when he stops short. Berthier turns round and finds that he has dropped asleep.
Murat, sullenly, far better not disturb him. He'll soon enough awake.
They wait, muttering to one another in tones expressing weary indifference to issues. Napoleon sleeps heavily for a quarter of an hour, during which the moon rises over the field. At the end he starts up, stares around him with astonishment.
Napoleon, am I awake? Or is this all a dream? Ah, no. Too real, and yet I have seen ere now a time like this.
The dictation is resumed. While it is in progress there can be heard between the words of Napoleon the persistent cries from the plain, rising and falling like those of a vast rookery far away, intermingled with the trampling of hoofs and the rumble of wheels. The bivouac fires of the engirdling enemy glow all around except for a small segment to the west, the track of retreat, still kept open by Bertrand, and already taken by the baggage wagons. The orders for its adoption by the entire army being completed, Napoleon bids adieu to his marshals, and rides with Berthier and Kahlenkert into Leipzig. Exeunt also the others.
Semi-chorus I of the pities, now, as in the dream of one sick to death, there comes a narrowing room that pens him, body and limbs and breath, to wait a hideous doom. Semi-chorus too, so to Napoleon in the hush that holds the town and towers through this dire night, a creeping crush seems inborn with the hours.
The scene closes under a rimy mist, which makes a lurid cloud of the firelights.
Scene V, the same. A street near the Ranstadt gate,
high old-fashioned houses form the street, along which, from the east of the city, is streaming a confusion of wagons, in hurried exit through the gate westward upon the high road to Linden, Lutzen, and the Rhine. In front of an inn, called the Russian Arms, are some attendants of Napoleon waiting with horses.
First officer, he has just come from bidding the king and queen a long goodbye. Is it that they will pay for his indulgence of their past ambition by sharing now his ruin? Much the king did beg him to leave them to their lot and shun the shame of capture needlessly.
He looks anxiously towards the door.
I would he'd haste. Each minute is of price. Second officer, the king will come to terms with the allies. They will not hurt him. Though he has lost his all, his case is not like ours.
The cheers of the approaching enemy grow louder. Napoleon comes out from the Russian Arms, haggard and in disordered attire. He is about to mount, but, perceiving the blocked state of the street, he hesitates.
Napoleon, God, what a crowd! I shall more quickly gain the gate afoot. There is a byway somewhere, I suppose?
A citizen approaches out of the inn.
Citizen, this alley, sire, will speed you to the gate. I shall be honored much to point the way.
Napoleon, then do, good friend. To attendants,
bring on the horses there. I if arrive soonest I will wait for you.
The citizen shows Napoleon the way into the alley.
Citizen, a garden's at the end, your majesty, through which you pass. Beyond there is a door that opens to the Elster Bank unbarred.
Napoleon disappears into the alley. His attendants plunge amid the traffic with the horses, and thread their way down the street. Another citizen comes from the door of the inn, and greets the first.
First citizen, he's gone.
Second citizen, I'll see if he succeeds. He re-enters the inn and soon appears at an upper window.
Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.